You're listening to Red Nation Online.
Welcome to the Red Nation Podcast Interview Series. My name is Steve Botcher, and earlier today I had the pleasure of speaking with Desiree Scott. A 24-year-old central holding midfielder with the Canadian Women's National Team, the Winnipeg native is one of the rising stars of Canadian soccer, and she's been capped 23 times by Canada. In this interview, Desiree and I discuss Canada's recent win over Brazil and upcoming match against Sweden, the 2012 Cyprus Women's Cup, the 2012 London Summer Olympics, National Team Head Coach John Herdman, former National Team Head Coach Carolina Maracci, and her recent switch from playing out wide to a central holding midfielder role. And now, Desiree Scott. Desiree, congratulations on Canada's recent win over Brazil. How much confidence is the team taking from pulling out a win in a close, hard-fought match against one of the best sides in the world?
I think any game that you compete a Tier 1 team like Brazil, who's so talented, is always a good thing for our team. We're trying to close that gap. So it's great for us. We still have some improvements to make, but winning is always a good thing for us, for sure.
You know, and Brazil is an interesting team. Like Canada, they have, I guess you could classify, you know, a real superstar in Marta, just as Canada has with Christine Sinclair. I'm just curious, without giving too much of the team's or John's tactics, you know, when you go up against, so much has been said about how teams key in on Christine. How do you approach a game against, especially, you know, you're in a defensive role, against a player like Marta?
Well, I think you have to give them the respect. I mean, she is one of the best players in the world, so you definitely have to be aware of her. But their whole team as a whole is dangerous. So we do try to focus on her, not to allow her to get the ball easily, but also still doing our jobs as per usual.
And next up for the Canadian Women's National Team is an away match against Sweden in Malmo, Sweden. Obviously, Sweden plays a different style from the Brazilians. How does Canada need to adjust tactically going from playing against Brazil to facing off against Sweden?
Yeah, I think Brazil is a very technical, and sometimes they pull things out of nowhere that you wouldn't expect. And I think Sweden is a little bit more direct, a little bit more organized. So I think we usually just go in with the same game plan, maybe adjust our formation a little bit here and there, but for the most part, we stick to the same game plan, the same blueprint.
Is it a matter of Canada playing to your strengths rather than adjusting your game so much for the opposition?
Yeah, I mean, we do obviously take things from the other team and what we need to do, but we focus on what our job is and our tactics and our goals for the game, as opposed to focusing completely on the opposition. I mean, we still have goals that we want to get accomplished in the game, so that's what we go towards.
And all of these current matches and training camps are preparation for the Summer Olympics in London. I'm just wondering, on an individual level, you know, what does the opportunity to be an Olympian and to play in an Olympics mean to you?
Yeah, once we qualified in Vancouver, I mean, I was pretty speechless to be a part of that, and now that I have the opportunity to potentially make that final roster and to go to the Olympics is something that I think everyone dreams of, every athlete aspires to, and it's just something that I'm willing to work hard towards, and I'm so excited for the opportunity, and hopefully all goes well come July.
The nickname Destroyer is one of my all-time favorites for a Canadian player. You know, I'm wondering, how do you like it, and what was the genesis of it being bestowed upon you?
I mean, I love that nickname, I'm not going to lie, it's pretty awesome. And I just think John has put us in a position where, well, put me in a position where I can just sort of have that confidence. It plays towards my, you know, my strengths, and my teammates have instilled a confidence in me that I maybe didn't have before. So it's great, and I'm just starting to sort of come into my own in that position.
Yeah, you previously played out wide and now play as a deep-lying central midfielder. I'm curious, you know, from a fitness standpoint, which position do you find more physically taxing?
You know, it's different running. Both of them are surprisingly a hard position to run in. This position, I mean, it's a little bit more defensive-minded, so you do get those breaks when our team is on the attack, but I'd have to say the wide position is more running.
And, you know, in addition to the running, what are some of the main adjustments you had to make in switching to, you know, from that wide role to a central midfield role?
I just think, playing out wide, you're at a different area of the field. So in this new defensive role, you're more central, and I have to sort of focus more now on the opposition's attack as opposed to our attack. I mean, I am involved in that aspect, but I'm a lot more defensive-minded now as opposed to attacking-minded. So that would probably be the biggest switch.
I read in the Vancouver Province that when you made the switch to that role, you had been studying some of the sport's better holding midfielders, you know, on television and on YouTube. Who are some of the players that you were watching, and what are some of the main principles you've been trying to bring to your performances on the pitch at that new position?
I've just been watching a bit of the different clips from the teams. Barcelona's center midfield has some great tactics. We actually have a PDF file on him and just the movements he makes and the different things he does. So I've been following that, and I've just been trying to find from our team's past defensive midfielders. Sophie Schmidt, I've been following her just because she's a great player, so she has a lot of things to give as well. And
you know, it's interesting you mentioned Sophie Schmidt. I think you know, for the, you know, the past several matches, you know, three players really stood out for a lot of people: yourself, Sophie Schmidt, you know, and of course Christine Sinclair. All received a lot of attention for the key roles they've played in Canada's recent successes. I'm wondering, who on the Canadian team do you think is sort of an unsung hero who maybe doesn't receive the attention that she deserves to?
That's a tough one. I mean, I don't know if I could pinpoint one player. I think everyone on our team is just fantastic. I mean, some players on the day have better games than others, but I don't know if I could pinpoint one specific person.
So it's really all about the team then.
Yeah, we're such a family on and off the pitch here. So, I mean, it's great when one has a good game, but if we all do, it's even better.
So Canada made it to the final of the Cyprus Women's Cup and lost to France in that final earlier this month. Given that Canada also lost a tough one to France at the World Cup, how was the mood among the team following that match, and what do you think Canada needs to do to, you know, defeat France the next time out?
Yeah, I mean, after the World Cup against France, clearly when we got matched up against them in the final in Cyprus, we were sort of wanting to go for that redemption and show that we could compete with France, and they're a very good side, and on the day they just came out and played better than us. But, I mean, we have a long time to the Olympics, and I think we're trying to close that gap between us and the Tier 1 teams, and we're just sort of trying to find the different potential tactical formations, the different technical abilities that we need to have in order to, you know, close that gap between them. So we're going to go into a residency, hopefully, and we'll just be putting in that work every day to sort of make us one of those Tier 1 teams come the Olympic time.
It's been stated that one advantage that France might have had over Canada was the fact that the majority of their team plays together regularly with the same club. And I'm also wondering, you know, well, obviously no one wanted to see the shutdown of the WPS. I'm wondering if you think there might be any silver lining in that it now appears that the core of the Canadian national team might be able to spend more time training and playing together leading up to the Olympics.
Yeah, I think France definitely has an advantage there. I mean, when you play with people all year round, I mean, you're going to know their tendencies. You're going to know what they do on and off the pitch. So you just become better and better. You train every day together. So now, unfortunately, the WPS shut down, but this allows us big name players like Christine Sinclair and the people who go to Sweden now will be in residency with us. So, I mean, this just allows us to come together as a team, and even more so than we may have been able to do before. So it's definitely an advantage for us with the WPS shutting down on a team standpoint.
Obviously, one of the biggest transitions that Canadian players have gone through has been at the head coach position with the switch from Carolina Marache to John Herdman. How different are the two coaches? And do you feel that your style of play corresponds better with one compared to the other?
I think, no disrespect to either of them, I think they're both amazing coaches, and they both have different things that they bring to the game. But currently with John, I think, for me personally, I think from the team standpoint, he's just brought a bit of fun to it to make the game enjoyable again. And for me, I mean, he's brought out a confidence didn't have before with Carolina, and I think that shows in my play and just how the environment here is much more enjoyable. So if it's enjoyable off the pitch, it shows on the pitch as well, so that's a good thing for our team.
Often both our men's and women's national teams are dominated by players from Ontario, Quebec, and BC. You're from Winnipeg, Manitoba, and I'm wondering if you think that fact made it a little bit more difficult for you to get noticed and sort of get to where you are today.
Yeah, you know, those Ontario, BC, I mean, they can play pretty much all year round, and they have more players to choose from, and my teammates make fun of me all the time from coming from Winnipeg, actually, so... I'm proud to come from there. I'm proud to represent my province and Winnipeg. And I mean, the exposure is not as great, I don't think, and it is tougher coming from those small towns, those prairie provinces, to make it on the national team. But you just got to work that much harder.
and you know what's the, you know, is soccer on the rise in Winnipeg? I know you know there's new teams and new clubs sprouting up there, and that you've been involved in. You know, WSA Winnipeg and whatnot. You know, what's the current state, and you know, are you excited about the future of soccer in Manitoba?
Yeah, I think it's on the up and up. I mean, we have a PDL team there now that's coming in, and hopefully we're going to be getting a women's W League team in the next couple of years. So, I mean, we are behind other provinces, but we do have ideas in mind. Our university team, I'm actually assistant coaching when I am in town there, so I'm hoping to bring a new level to that program as well. So I think it's on the up and up for sure.
You just set up my next question, you know, with your reference to being an assistant coach at the University of Manitoba. You know, I'm curious, has being a coach given you a different perspective, and has it helped you in any way as a player?
It's definitely a different side of the game that you have to pay attention to. A lot of the girls on the team are still my friends, so that was the biggest thing for me, is have to be the hard ass or the, you know, the professional as opposed to their friend on the sideline. But I do see now from a coach's standpoint the things you want to bring out in your players, and I just sort of take that into my play as well. So it has given me a new perspective on the game, and
And ending off with one final question, and what I'm hoping is a little bit of a fun one. In doing some research, I learned that you're also a singer and tried out for Canadian Idol when auditions were held in Winnipeg. So, you know, I've interviewed a number of Canadian players. I often ask them which other players in world football they admire. But with you, I think I'm going to ask, you know, who are the singers that you admire?
I love to sing. If I didn't play soccer, I'd probably try and be in a choir or something like that. But the singers I absolutely love. I love Alicia Keys, and Celine Dion is a big one in our team too as well.
All right. Thanks very much for your time today, Desiree. Really enjoyed watching you play recently, and wish you all the best for you know, your upcoming matches and leading into London.
Yes, thank you so much. I appreciate it.